Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, a quick note before we get into the show. Pathetique have revolutionized the way men enhance their hair. Gorgeous, salon-quality, multidimensional colors that not only hide your gray but your bald spot and beer gut as well. Made from natural ingredients that enable your manliness in new and unusual ways, the ingenious remote-controlled shape bottle puts you in control. Pathetique. Extreme toxic masculinity in a bottle for under $5 delivered to your door. Pathetique would like to honor listeners of this podcast by offering a ceremonial cummerbund when using the promo code SLIMMINGLY.
Shovel ready, Australians? Are you ready to skill up? Then the Upbeat Music Academy has the course for you. Get paid more. Garner distinction from your peers. Vocational training has never been so easy. Just pop our Certificate 1 tape into your cassette machine and press play. Our revolutionary, patented mix tape will do the work for you. Learn as you sleep. Stop dreaming and start learning tonight with the Upbeat Music Academy. We teach everything.
Who'd like to introduce this episode of Is This Shirt Slimming?
You do it, Chris.
Rob?
Too slow.
And you are a public speaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Is This Shirt Slimming? Your classic rock musical cavity search.
Oh, he's got notes, huh? We're sucked into another Phil Story vortex.
I just noticed on my phone too when I texted you guys, the only message says, pubic mullet.
I've got an all-back mullet.
What, you're across your whole back?
That's what I said. Yeah, a beautiful mullet all the way down my back. Nothing on my head, just down my back.
Is This Shirt Slimming? Presented by Christopher Soulos, Robert Barnhill, Philip Muscatello. The highs, the lows, the triumphs, the invigilators, the laughter, the tears. Is This Shirt Slimming? I guess it must be a podcast. Oops.
I just wanted to speak about some of our musical experiences over the last few weeks because it's been a little while since we've chatted. Christopher and I went to a day at Studio 301.
Oh, nerdy.
Yeah, the new studio. Yeah, I don't know if it's nerdy. It's more pop star-y nerdy, isn't it?
I've had a beer with Slim Dusty there.
Which iteration? Were you in Castlereagh Street or in Alexandria?
In Castlereagh Street, yeah.
The real 301.
Yeah. Not the pretend I can do anything with money 301.
What? What
an
attitude.
EMI, unlimited funds, 301.
Yeah, they were so unlimited they couldn't afford to repair the automated Hewlett-Packard automated desk in the old Castlereagh Street 301.
It seems to be unlimited money nowadays, doesn't
it? Where do they get it?
Tom Meisner, who owns the studio, seems to have shitloads of money.
Is he a professional gambler like that Mona guy?
The who?
I suppose if you put money into a recording studio, that would make you a professional gambler.
Actually, there is a professional gambler in the pop scene. It's Dieter Meier. The lead singer of Yellow.
Tom Meisner's Germanic as well, isn't he?
He's Austrian.
So Tom Meisner is the owner of 301 Studio, and he may be a professional gambler because he lives in Monaco, as he made very obvious at the speech that he gave us at the opening of 301, where he told us about the 67 cement trucks.
Is it curry flavoured?
The 67 trucks of cement that came in to do the soundproofing for the place, and the acousticians, and the $1.5 million air conditioning. And you remember how cold it was?
It was freezing.
It was so freezing. So
look at all this stuff, and why do the records still sound like shit?
But because
he's showing off. He's just telling us how cold it's been. We've got it on full, and you can't hear a thing.
Yes, we know it's full. We're freezing. Anyone want to ask any questions?
Did he set that up just in case Michael Jackson wanted to record there?
to inter him.
Or Walt Disney.
I like the way that Tom preempted his new address by telling everyone, I think four times before it started, before he got into the meat of anything, how jet-lagged he was. And then, of course, no one asked him why. because everyone just wanted to get the meat. So he had to mention that he'd flown over from Monaco, where he now lives. Maybe he's got a fish and chip shop there. Who knows?
Yeros. Yeros shop.
He must have taken something with him from Australia.
But I love the Greek hamburger. I love that story he told about going to work at the old Festival Records in Piemont. And the first act that the A&R department gave it to him, because in those days the A&R department worked out which artist was going to go with which producer. And his first act that he recorded was Sister Janet Mead. And
Our Father who art in heaven.
And so he recorded the Lord's Prayer. It became number one.
Yep.
Everyone wanted to work with him after that. He had the golden touch.
Bon Jovi was sweeping his uncle's studio for years before he got a chance to grab some time for his band.
What a shame they let him out.
Oh. Nothing wrong with the first single. It's great, especially when it goes up a minor third at the end. Gosh.
What's that, Living on a Prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a great song. But we're really proud to see one of my oldest friends and colleague and workmate, Jack Prest, is being pushed now as a producer there, which I think is fantastic. They're advertising some time with Jack Prest and Steve Smart for mastering, which is great. Good on you, Jack. Kudos.
Now, I've discovered another podcast called Disgracelands, which is a fantastic podcast about music and crime. And I'd recommend it to all of our listeners straight after
and
this.
The difference is.
And the difference is. It's a fantastic, fantastic story. But this episode of Disgracelands I heard was about the Rolling Stones drug bust in Canada when Keith got a felonious amount of heroin, I think it was, he was bringing into the country. And he was basically up on charges which could have seen him put into jail for 7 years. And they were staying off their world tour in Canada on the cusp of Keith being put into jail for a long time, which could have easily put the band on ice for a long time. Although Keith has always maintained that Mick would have got another guitarist and carried on without him. They were rehearsing in this warehouse somewhere on the outskirts of Toronto, and all these people were walking past and heard this band, and everyone thought it was a Rolling Stones tribute band.
Not a very good one either.
That's what I mean. The real Rolling Stones sounded like a tribute band. And the only reason why the crowd realised it was the real Rolling Stones is because someone saw Margaret Trudeau walking into the warehouse for another one of their parties.
So the government threatened to arrest and jail the guitarist.
Oh, he was arrested.
Just long enough for Margaret to party, and then when the party was over, they were allowed to go. Is that right? Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, he was out on bail, and he had to go to court. But when he finally went to court, the judge was moved to sympathy because there was a blind girl who came to testify.
Hold on. Legally blind?
Legally blind.
Okay, just checking.
And this blind girl went and pleaded on behalf of Keith, because apparently whenever Keith and the Stones toured in Canada, she was a huge Stones fan, and Keith always made sure that the road crew got a good limo and picked her up and put her into a good spot to listen to the Stones and made sure she got home safely. And the judge was moved to compassion because of this. And this is where the song Girl with the Faraway Eyes comes from. It was written as a tribute to this girl. Well,
it's a nice story for Keith.
Lovely, Phil. Yeah. Sucking us into talking about the Rolling Stones. Together to have a Roger Gold segment tonight.
Roger Gold?
Do you know about the Roger Gold segment, Chris?
I never heard of Roger Gold.
Oh, what? Roger's a friend of Phil and mine, and he's Roger used to work for WEA Records, Warner Brothers. and he had to chaperone Johnny Cougar Mellencamp for a week. For the whole week, he was a prick on Countdown everywhere, just horrible. And at the airport, he said to Roger after a week, he said, "Can I buy you a beer?" And Roger was surprised. And he said, "Yeah, of course." And he said, "Roger, you've been great. Sorry I've been a prick all week. That's the act." But then Roger told me another story about Rick Wakeman. Rick Wakeman toured here very successfully in the early 70s. I don't remember.
Is this the Journey of the Center of the Earth stuff or the Yes stuff?
No, it might have been Journey, but he had Journey, a band. Yeah. He had a band of hippies, and they all wore sandals and they were all vegan. So what Rick would do every night, even at the Horden or anywhere, any gig, Rick would order Indian food to be brought in, and he would eat it during the performance on stage just to piss the other guys off.
I think that was
Lamb and beef.
That was Yes. Here's my 3 hour one story. My cousin Peter Angus, who lives in Brisbane, was one of the maintenance engineers at the 3 hour one in the 70s, late 70s. They were touring, and Rick just hated hanging out with the guys because they were all really into this Eastern mysticism, and they're all reading this certain book. Because they were about to make, soon after all that happened, they made the Tales of Topographic Ocean, which was just the most self-indulgent. So Rick hooked up with Peter, and they would go out every night to pubs. And they ended up, Rick discovered this pub in Surry Hills, which he ended up loving. And he'd go in and have a few beers and play Barrel House piano for everyone.
Apparently he loved playing Barrel House piano.
Just to get away from the...
We have told this story on Slimming before, but I don't think anyone's keeping count. But I'll just add, the last time we talked about that, I said that he most probably did the Barrel House version of Journey to the Center of the Earth. just to work that joke right into the ground.
right to the center.
That segues nicely into the prog rock side of the story, because we're going to be talking to Stuart Stormen next week, who's made this fantastic prog rock album. And have a listen to it, Rob, because you should listen to it before we go. But it's I'm really enjoying. I'm not saying that just because, you know, you're my friend and I need to say things like that. But it's really fantastic. And apparently, I didn't even realise there's a magazine, there's a prog rock magazine, still.
Of course there is, Phil.
There's prog rock bands all over the
world. All the pages are stuck together.
Oh.
Those prog rock guys, they don't get out much.
Not since the 70s.
I think Chris has that magazine.
God, what a cold-blooded attitude you've got. What did I lovingly call prog rock today, Phil? Metal for nerds.
Metal for nerds, yeah. That's right. Has anyone ever seen the, there's a documentary, Bill Bailey, you know, the English comedian, the one that's in Black Books?
Yeah, the one that he does about
prog
rock.
He's got a documentary about prog rock, and it's fantastic, yeah.
He's a good musician, Bill, and he's done, you know, presents this, obviously he likes prog rock, but I was surprised. There's a couple of different versions of the beginning of prog rock, but it came from two surprisingly different sources. Mm. There's the American part and the English side. Mm-hmm. And the theory is that prog rock emerged from the Jethro Tull, which Thick as a Brick is the first jazz rock or prog rock album in British music.
Is
and
it?
Frank Zappa's Hot Rats was the first few.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jazz rock classical album to break out of the normal sort of R&B scene.
What was it?
Frank Zappa.
Just make a note. Jazz rock classical.
Yeah. with a bit of blues rats. Violin.
No country and western in there.
Oh, it's a great album, Hot Rats. It's still one of my favorites.
Hot Rats is a great album.
Oh, it's so good.
Have you not heard Hot Rats?
Yeah, I have, but not since the 70s.
Have another listen. Have another listen and realise there was no precedent for the album. That's the prog rock scene. I think Rob's turned into a lava lamp.
It's too much talking about prog rock.
It's got a mind of its own, Phil.
I went to see Squeeze.
This is the UK band, Squeeze.
Yeah, they were called UK Squeeze in Australia and in America.
Yeah. They were really good. I remember hearing their album, when the Call for Cats album, being at a picnic and someone playing the whole album. I went, who's this? It's like, it's the same band. It's like, you've got to be kidding. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, musically, just wonderful. The playing was fantastic.
Yeah.
They've been together since 1973. Since they were young teenagers, and it's Chris Difford and Glenn Tilbrook. And Difford claims that in 1973 he stole 50p from his mother's purse to put a card in a local sweet shop window to advertise for a guitarist to join his band. And though he didn't
have
a band at the time, and Glenn Tilbrook was the only person who responded to the advertisement. And the rest is history, ladies and gentlemen. They're still together, however, Chris Difford didn't... come out to Australia. At the end of the concert, everyone's sort of going, where's Chris Difford? Where's Chris Difford? And at the end of the concert, Glenn Tilbrook said, well, you know, there's someone who should be standing here, but he doesn't like to fly. He sends his apologies and thanks you for coming. The other fact that I found out about Squeeze is that their first album was produced by John Cale of the Velvet Underground. Now, there's a strange pairing, isn't it?
They had to remix
the singles because they weren't commercial enough.
He's got something new out.
He does. Yeah, I've been listening to it.
Which is sort of nice. I played it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weirdly nice.
That'll do.
Is that through the Brian Eno connection?
Did someone just say Brian Eno? Because I've just made the mistake of following Brian Eno on Twitter.
Yeah, he's out there.
He doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. It's like,
what does he talk about?
Himself.
Himself.
Here's my hair in 1972. here's my hair in a jar.
He's out there. Wasn't he? He was in the Portsmouth Orchestra, the worst orchestra on earth.
Phil had that album. I used to love it when you played that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great way to end the night. The other thing he did, which was interesting, was make pornos. Appear in porn. He used to go onto porno sets and walk in and become an extra.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't done that?
Look, here's a spreadsheet.
But if you're an extra, do you get to participate in porno scenes or do you just?
That's what it means.
You participate, huh?
That's what it means.
That's not clear to me, Chris. How do you know this special knowledge about porno films?
I don't have special. It's just that these aren't particularly. These are not trained actors, Phil. Anyway, shout out to one of our listeners contacted me during the week and...
complains?
No, said he was impressed that I'd mentioned a style of music that he hadn't heard of and he's an architect and listens to our show and he's chuckled many times.
I don't think he'd be chuckling tonight.
I think psytrance is actually prog trance in disguise.
Chris is out.
Well, I think you could be right. I mean, the H-E-A-R-T, H-E-A-R-T, is pretty much, that's asterisks.
Concert album.
You just keep doing what you're doing, Barry.
Barry Manilow is one of music's great tenebrists, a master of forced intensities of light and shadow,
and a connoisseur of images that linger in the mind like obscure portents.
Is it, being a judge on The Voice, does that signify a career on life support?
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly the winter years, that's for sure. You know, because all they're saying to these artists is, can you come in and pretend you're listening to the radio like we used to do, and pick mm-hmm. a song that you like the sound of, like it's on the radio like we used to do, and then at a certain point you can turn around and show that you're not just an ordinary member of the audience, you were someone who was famous once on the radio when people didn't have pictures to look at you.
Chris looks like a great one of those concept. Old Greek guys in the transition lenses. I know why you look like an old Greek guy in transition lenses. Because you are an old Greek guy in transition lenses.
The truth of the matter is, Hendrix went up to Manolis Hiotis and asked him how he played those lightning fast licks, the scales he used and the diminished.
I also did a gig last Saturday night, and I did, this is a record for me because I've done just about every significant decade, but last Saturday I did my first 90th birthday party.
Kill anybody?
I was a little bit concerned. I'll tell you later why I was a bit concerned.
Have you got any Vera Lynn?
No, he wanted nothing.
Fuck my grandmother.
Please don't fuck my please don't fuck my great granddaughter.
Like
he wanted disco. Now, this guy, I won't mention names, but this guy is a famous Sydney.
Well, of course they wanted disco because they were in their 60s when that was happening.
Yeah, he's a famous Sydney restaurateur, and he's owned quite a few significant restaurants in this town. And he's so Jewish.
Abe Saffron?
No, but I'm sure he's of that ilk. And he's telling all these stories about things that had happened in the restaurant, like
Frank Sinatra came in.
Well, no, he had pictures of him with Sammy Davis Jr., with Sean Connery, with Michael Caine. Yeah, it was one of those restaurants that all the stars would go through. And he
talking tables.
No, talking tables. Now there's a restaurant. Why don't they have?
Abdul.
Listeners mightn't remember Talking Tables restaurant. Do you remember Talking Tables, Rob? Where every table had a phone. Like you'd go there, and there'd be a phone on the table.
We played at one in Newtown. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a phone on each table, and you could dial other tables.
Hey, you look great. Oh, no, that's the chick at the other table, mate.
This is before. What do they use now that they flick their pages through on their phone?
Facebook.
Oh, Tinder.
They like or they don't like. What's that called?
Tinder.
Grindr.
No, that's right. Tinder. Grindr.
Yeah, it's basically Grindr. It's a real life Tinder. Grindr. Is that the?
Anyway, so he's tables. Telling all these stories, and one of the stories was it ended every story the same way. And so, like, he's telling the story about there was a group of policemen who would turn up every week and have lunch, and a couple of politicians would be there, and they'd all have their brown paper bags full of, he'd call it schwarz.
Okay.
Schwarz, he'd call it, which is Yiddish. It's Yiddish for guilt, money. And one day he peeked, you know, no one was allowed in except the waiter to serve the food, and then the waiter would have to leave, and then he'd, one day he was peeking in to see, and then everyone at one point pushed their bags of money, their paper bags of money, all in front of one person at the end of the table. And the name of that man was?
Abe Saffron.
The name of the man was?
Robert Askin.
Read it in the book. And that's a way to end every story. You go up to it. You got to read the book.
I can't tell anything.
Yeah. And then, you know, Rupert Murdoch was this, at this table. And then read it in the book.
Read it
in. You've been listening to Is This Shirt Slimming? Unfortunately, we can't play any of the music that we're talking about, as the copyright bodies responsible won't issue a license to podcast.
Have we asked them?
That's why the music you hear. Yes, we have asked them.
We can with Stuart's stuff. Stuart's given us direct permission.
Okay, fantastic. That's why the music you hear is composed mainly by Christopher Surlos and a bit by myself. We'd like to thank the people who contribute to this podcast, including, but not limited to, Chris Parsons, Max Thrower, Hugh Wade, Bill Drake, Simon Whale, Jan Paul, Christopher Soulos, and Rob Barnhill. You can find us at slimmingly.strikingly.com, on Facebook at Slimmingly, and on Twitter at Shirt Slimming. This has been Is This Shirt? This has been Is This Shirt Slimming?
Whoops.
I guess it must be a podcast.
You didn't mention yourself in that list of thank yous, Phil.
It's Phil Muscatello. Did you want to thank Phil, Chris?
Thank you, Phil Muscatello.
Thanks, Phil. Edward.
Eric.
Philip. Edward Muscatello. Why don't we email each other some bullet points for the next time that we can expand on? And rubbish. Sorry. Talk about it.
Well, I thought the Olivia Newton John Delta Goodrum thing was pretty important.
Important. It's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky. Tricky to know how to respond to that.
It's. I just feel as though that really that sort of takes the cover band thing to a whole new level.
Have you ever been mellow, Chris?
Yeah. By the banks of the old high earth.
I saw the Mississippi once. I was in a bus.
But I've never been to me.
Yeah?
Oh, cool. I've seen the life-size statue of Mary Tyler Moore in Minneapolis.
Wow. How tall is she?
She was on a pedestal. Similar to the one that I put Ange on.
What was that joke I told you, Phil, the other day about the funeral one? Oh, this bloke goes up to a widow at a funeral and he says, excuse me. She turns around and says, yes. And he says, I knew your husband very well. So, yes, thank you. He said, I just want to share a word with you. He said, yeah, yes, what is it? And he says, plethora. And she looked at him and said, you know, that means a lot.
Karaoke singers, are you unhappy with your singing? Voice flat, sharp, thin, reedy? Then get the all-new XY40 and sing like a winner. It's not just an auto-tune device. It's timbre, coloratura, vibrato, simpatico, authenticity, texture, sorrow and joy. Sing No Woman No Cry and have your audience cry. Win prizes, make new friends, and be admired with the all-new XY40. Available in analog, digital, plug-in, and implant at your local record bar now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.